All right, so we're ready to begin. So yeah, verses 31 to 37 in NTI Luke chapter 4. And is it 132 in the paper books as well? Okay, good. I noticed that you turn your pages at a different time than me, but somehow we still keep pace. So I think that's kind of amazing. I don't know how that works out. We'll see if it stays that way throughout the book. Okay, so Holy Spirit is speaking. I am your leader in this process of healing. It is best for you to realize that you do not know the answers and you could not heal yourself. The way to healing is to listen to me with the full attention of your ears. Focus them on nothing else and no one else. Quiet your mind that you may hear only me. There is nothing within you that needs to be driven away, but it may seem that way to you. You may seem to be possessed of an evil voice that whispers torturous thoughts into your mind and will not go away. This demon is your fear. It will disguise itself in different forms in order to distract you from the truth of what is. But do not let it fool you. It is your fear of healing, so it must be sickness. For what else could fear healing but sickness? Does love need to fear healing? Does peace need to fear healing? That which is the effects of health need not fear healing. So it is your sickness that causes fear and pain within you. Know your sickness for what it is, and remember that willingness is where you choose to give your power now. This is what you are to do when you see the symptoms of sickness within your mind. Number one, acknowledge that you are sick. Number two, remember you have decided to be healed. Number three, turn away from the voice of sickness. Number four, give all of your attention to your willingness to be healed. And then number five, trust in your willingness. So basically, what he is doing here is he is teaching us exactly what to do when that ego voice is driving us crazy in whatever way it's driving us crazy. Whatever story, you know, gets you by the balls, as they say. If you'll forgive the expression, but it seemed like the best one in the moment. he's telling you what to do in these cases. And in fact, I know people who have like cut this out, you know, or written it, typed it up somewhere else and cut it out so they could grab it when they needed it. Because the truth is, it's a very simple formula that actually works. First of all, the main reason the ego has you, as you know, is because you're believing it. You're believing what it's saying. You think it's your mind, and you think it is warning you about something that might happen, or telling you something you did that was really bad that you should not have done, or whatever. You're totally believing it. So the very first step addresses that. Acknowledge that you're sick. Okay, acknowledge that this is, you know, he's using the symbols of sickness and health here. So this is just the ill part of your mind that you're listening to. And just like you would not listen to, you know, a person that you knew was sick, a person that had a mental illness, if they were telling you there's this and UFOs came down and they took my mom, and you know, you might be compassionate for them, but you wouldn't, you know, get all riled up about it, right? That's the same with your own ego, to be honest. You don't need to get all riled up about it. So the first thing you want to do is acknowledge this is sickness. My aunt has Lou Gehrig's disease. And what I didn't know until, you know, she told me is a part of Lou Gehrig's disease is hallucinations. And she actually has very frightening hallucinations. Like sometimes she'll be in bed and it'll look like something's under her sheets and it's moving closer and closer to her. Or sometimes it'll seem that something comes into her room and, you know, very frightening hallucinations. And I asked her, you know, do they scare you? And she said, no, because I know they're not real. And I remember thinking that's powerful because, you know, they look real, right? But somehow, you know, she's been able to train herself the difference between, no matter how real it looks, that there's something under her sheets coming for her now. She's taught herself, this is just the Lou Gehrig's hallucination. This is just sickness here, right? And that's what Holy Spirit is asking us to do, is to say, this is just sickness here. And in fact, as soon as you do that, you've already started to step into your right mind. Because your wrong mind doesn't call itself sick, right? So you've started to step into your right mind when you say, this is just sickness here, and it doesn't matter how real it seems, you know. Then the second step, remember, this is really remember your purpose. Remember, you've decided to be healed. And what about the death?
I mean, do you still treat it like this?
Well, it depends on how you're mourning. To be honest, there's a healthy way to mourn and an unhealthy way to mourn. So it's not like, I don't think any of us experience the death of someone close and not feel some sadness, you know? But there can also be a peace within that sadness. There can be an acceptance within that sadness. If there's some kind of freaking out, like I'm never going to be able to survive again, I'm never going to smile again, you know, I'm never going to, then yeah, that's your crazy voice. Because there's a healthy morning and an unhealthy morning, and it's a matter of knowing whether you're getting into that desperateness or whether you're staying in a very healthy loss situation and allowing yourself the time to mourn. You know, when Mary Ellen passed last May, as you know, I only went through a little bit of mourning, but that was just because then I suddenly remembered some things and I wasn't as sad anymore. But until I remembered these things that she had told me that made me feel better, I went through a mourning. There was this loss. She'd just been here beside me and now she was gone. But at the same time, it was okay. I mean, I knew it was okay. I knew everything was okay. So I think that sometimes as course students, I do think as course students we can get really screwed up. And a part of our job is to know the difference between being a screwed up course student and being a healthy person that's waking up. And, you know, if we think that we're not supposed to be sad when someone close dies and that there's something wrong with us because we feel emotions at loss, That's not true.
Yeah.
It's just not true. In fact, Lao Tzu, it wasn't Lao Tzu himself, I don't think. It was the person, his number one disciple, who was also supposed to be a master. I don't remember his name. But he was teaching after Lao Tzu had passed on. And this man's son died, his firstborn son. And he was experiencing sadness about it. And his disciple said to him, but sir, you know, master, you said that this is an illusion. And he said, yes. But your firstborn son is the greatest illusion of all. You know? So to deny our emotions is foolishness. But there is, even in death, there's an unhealthy, there's something in you that knows when you're letting yourself go too far into the wrong direction with it. And then, yes, this would still apply. Yeah. So, acknowledge that you are sick, and then remember you have decided to be healed. One thing that's really important is knowing that the way you are healed is by not giving your attention and your belief to your sickness. So if you remember that you've decided to be healed, then you also remember your responsibility. And your responsibility is, to the best of your ability, to begin to draw back from that story. This is where the rest, accept, and trust comes in again that we talked about last week. And that's where you rest your mind from the story, right? You accept how you're feeling, and you trust that you're healing, right? So you want to do your best, and if you're, again, if you're normal, your mind will probably get caught up in the story again, and then you just pull it back again. And then it will get caught up again, and then you just pull it back again. And you just gently keep repeating these two first steps. Acknowledge that you're sick, and remember that you've decided to heal. You want to put your attention on healing, not on sickness. And then the third step, turn away from the voice of sickness, right? The fourth step, give all of your attention to your willingness to heal. And people have different ways of doing this. You know, I can really feel my heart. So when I want to give all of my attention to my willingness to heal, I just focus on my heart. That works for me. What other ways do you guys have of just focusing on your willingness? Focus on gratitude.
I'm very grateful
for how willing you are. So he focuses on his gratitude for willingness. What else?
I use that statement
All shall be well. I used to say also, this too shall pass. Yeah, all shall be well. This too shall pass. You know, oftentimes there will be just one or two sentences that you can just keep focusing on. And the nice thing about that is if you're really focusing on your one or two sentences, all shall be well, this too shall pass, I trust the healing process, I'm grateful for my willingness. When you're doing that, your mind can't be occupied on the story. So instead of the mind using you, you're using the mind. Right? It's like you've kind of taken back ownership of the mind, and you're using the mind for the process of healing. And then the last step is just to trust in your willingness. Lots of people think that their willingness is not much. You know, like just, it's just not much. It's not worth anything, you know. But that's not true. In fact, when we get to NTI Galatians, which will be a while, so if anybody wants to cheat and go ahead and read it, it's only six little books. You could read it in one night, NTI Galatians. NTI Galatians teaches you that your willingness is everything, that your willingness has all of the power of God in it, and it asks you just to trust your willingness completely. So even if you seem to have a...
Sorry.
That's all right. Even if you seem to have a little bit of willingness to heal, even that little bit of willingness has all the power of God in it, right? So it's not nothing. The hole in the dike, yes. Who was it that brought that up to me? Oh, that was Lynn Johnson, I think. Yeah, Lynn Johnson and I kind of were batting off of each other and we came up with it, but... The idea is that your willingness is like a crack in a dike, right? And when that crack in the dike appears, the water starts coming through it, maybe seeping at first. But what happens when the water keeps coming? It becomes a bigger crack and a bigger crack. And then more and more water comes, and then it's a bigger crack. And eventually, the whole dike bursts, right? So even a little bit of willingness, you know, is a very powerful, meaningful thing. So that's why this last step says, trust in your willingness. So again, acknowledge that you are sick. Remember, you have decided to be healed. Turn away from the voice of sickness. Give all of your attention to your willingness to be healed. And trust in your willingness. It is your sickness that cries out, what do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us? And it is your willingness that answers, be quiet. We are listening to the voice of truth now.
I find that very funny.
Well, that's a reinterpretation of what's happening in the Bible. Basically, the demons are yelling at Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a demonized man, and Jesus is asking the demons to leave, and the demons are yelling at him, what do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us? That's what they're saying. You know, but, I mean, I'm sure you guys all know that your ego can, you know, be like a demon. Right? Everybody's experienced that? It can get pretty dang strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look how he responds. Just be quiet. We're listening to the voice of truth now. We aren't paying any attention to you, inner demons. you're not worth my time. And again, that's not denial, because we acknowledge that we were sick. It's just saying, this, you're not what I want to listen to anymore. I've decided to listen to this voice. There will seem to be many sick thoughts within your mind that need healing. Do not fear that each one must be touched and healed for healing to come over you. For all sickness comes from the same source. When the source is healed, all of the symptoms of sickness disappear at once. Now, this is a true statement. Probably what's going to happen for most of us, if you're on what I'll call the process of awakening as opposed to a spontaneous awakening, is you're going to notice yourself awakening. You're going to let go of different false beliefs. You're going to let go of different conditioning, different habits as you go along. And as you do that, you will notice that you are listening to ego less and less, and that you're listening to what we call spirit more and more. But you're never going to finish that job of letting go of things one at a time. At some point, the spontaneous healing occurs for you too. And that's when everything else falls away. So if ego ever starts talking to you about, okay, sure, good, you let go of this, this, and this, but you can't ever let go of it all, then you're going to say, that's true. I can't, and I don't have to. Because the way awakening finally comes, no matter how long you've been on the spiritual path, is a spontaneous awakening. So you could have 25 years of work and then the spontaneous awakening, right? But when the spontaneous awakening happens, everything else falls away. So when the source itself is healed, that's the spontaneous awakening, then everything else is healed. So you don't actually have to go through and heal everything, you know, by looking at it and letting go of it and learning not to listen to it and all that. But you might as well be doing that now while you're on this path. First of all, because I don't think you can do anything else if you're here. I don't think you cannot do it, right? But also, every time you let go of something, you're actually going to be happier. You're going to experience more joy, more peace, more acceptance. So until the spontaneous awakening occurs, there's no reason not to continue on the step-by-step work that's presented to you right in front of you. Any questions about that? But we will all spontaneously awake. Whatever's left will fall off together. So, again, when the source is healed, all of the symptoms of sickness disappear at once. So this is what you are to do. Do not believe the symptoms in your mind. Do not be distracted by them. Those small things are not the source of your sickness. But when you notice the symptoms, let them remind you that the source is within you still. Give your willingness to the source of healing, that the source of sickness may be taken away. So again, he's really teaching a non-judgment. You know, so if you notice that your mind is criticizing someone all the time, you know, that as soon as you look at her, you know, a criticism pops out of your mind. You know, until that's healed, there's probably nothing you can do about it except not take it so seriously. You know, just, you know, what happens for my mind, what happens for me is I just basically, I don't really do anything with it now, to be honest. I mean, I just don't pay attention to it. But before I got to where I naturally didn't pay attention to it, I would just joke with myself. I'd say, oh, so you want to judge her now, you know? And then something in the laughter would just kind of make it piddle out. So, but if my mind was to automatically judge and then I go, ah, geez, you know, you're never going to stop, you know? Then you're just going deeper into ego is what's happening. So these symptoms of sickness, the fact that your mind automatically judges some things, you know, that's just the symptom that you're not awake yet, which you knew anyway, right? So just don't take it any more seriously than that. Don't give it any more weight, any more attention than it deserves. Just basically You know, see it and then, you know, let it go from your attention as non-important. One thing I love about A Course in Miracles in the workbook is it starts off by telling us our thoughts are meaningless. If you can learn just that, that your thoughts are meaningless, then these things may pop up in your mind, but you're not giving them meaning. You're not giving them attention. You aren't thinking they matter. You're not believing your judgment. You're not believing you're bad for having a judgment. Just all of that crap isn't getting piled onto that little thought. It's just a little thought, here now, gone now. Right? Just like that. Here, gone. But don't expect them to all disappear, because those are the symptoms that you are still not awake. And so as long as you're not awake, you'll see them. Now, they may lessen. They may grow weaker, you know, as you do your work. You may not see as many judgments, but they're still going to show up. And so just don't give them too much power. Okay, and then he says, and this is what else you are to do. Although there is sickness within you, you are not wholly sick, nor are you sickness itself. For your willingness is within you, and it is health. Turn your attention to your health. Live within your health. Be your health. Get up and walk with it, giving your attention to it, that it may grow within you. Sickness must rest and be quiet. This is the way to health. Let your sickness rest. But health must serve the Son of God, for that is its only purpose. Let your health serve in great joy and be glad for it. So there he's just asking us to recognize, again, there's no way that we're wholly sick. You know, worst case scenario, you have a split mind. What does a split mind mean? It means half of it, you know, or whatever is full and perfect. And so it's a matter of learning the difference between your sick mind and your healthy mind, and learning which one not to listen to and which one to listen to. And then living that way, living from your healthy mind, from your right mind, from your Holy Spirit, from your inner guidance, from your God-directed intuition, from the still, quiet voice, whatever you want to call it. All right, chapter 5 then. Things are not as they seem. This is why I ask you to trust me and follow me. I know how things are. You are blind to these facts, for you only know what you think you know, and that is nothing but a deep and burdensome slumber. Step away from what you know and come with me. I will show you what you don't know. I will show you what you don't think is possible and prove to you that it is true. Leave what you know. Be willing to put it completely behind you and follow me. What you know limits you and holds you back through your own willingness to know it. Cast what you know away from you, and I will help you to pull in a net full of what you did not believe was possible. Now this, of course, is the reinterpretation of the story where Peter came in after a day of fishing with nothing. And Peter, you guys may know, was really an angry guy anyway, right? So he's really angry now after a whole day out in the hot sun, no fish. So he comes in hot, tired, hungry, pissed off. Jesus tells him to go out again. And Peter's like, I've been out there all day. I'm an expert fisherman. Who are you? Peter's brother Andrew already had faith in Jesus. So Andrew told Peter, come on, just do it. Just do it. So they go back out into the Sea of Galilee, and there's a certain place where Jesus says, drop your nets here. And Peter, you know, rolling his eyeballs and all pissed off and thinking this is a waste of time, throws his nets in, and they get a net full of fish, right? So Peter was an expert fisherman. You know, Jesus was a carpenter's son, right? By logic, Peter should have known that, you know, it was not a good time now for a catch. This was not a good place for a catch. Based on everything he knew, this didn't make sense. Who knows why he did it? Something in him just made him go along with it. But what he learned was that everything he knew was wrong. So Spirit's actually telling us that this is true of us too. And I think this is probably one of the hardest things for us to learn. Because the problem is, we do think we know. We really do. Yeah, we think we know. We have experience with the people in our lives. We know what to expect from them. We know how they're going to react, how they're going to act, what they think. We know what we have experience with different situations that we've been in over and over and over again, and we know what happens every time I'm in this situation. It happens again. But when we're in that mind, we're like Peter in the story. And if we listen to ourselves, if Peter had listened to himself for some reason, you know, God knows why he didn't, but if Peter had listened to himself, he would have got out of that boat, he would have stomped home and had dinner and gone to bed. And he would have never known the miracle of the fish. Right? It's true. So what he's asking us to do is to be willing to put aside what we think we know, even if we have to do it rolling our eyeballs like Peter did. Peter may have been rolling his eyeballs, but he did it. He went back out. He dropped the net where Jesus told him to drop the net, right? You can't, I mean, it wasn't even 100% willingness. You know, he was dragging his feet willingness, but he did it. And that's how he learned. So if we could at least begin to doubt what we think we know so well, then maybe we can start to learn through experiences and miracles that we did not expect to happen. But if we, you know, don't, if we say, no, I know, this is the way it is, and we go on our own way, just like if Peter had gone home that night, then we'll never know. All right, verses 12 to 16. The journey that we take together will seem to take great faith. Do not worry that you do not have enough faith to complete the journey. For if you have faith to start, you have faith to complete it. On this journey, through this course that we will complete together, you will come to see yourself as dirty, unworthy, and untouchable. All means of self-hatred will come up in you, but do not be alarmed. Your blemishes come to me for healing. Your hatred comes to me through your faith and willingness that it may be healed. Hatred is nothing but a desire for love that believes love is absent. In my light, it shall know love is not absent. In this knowledge, it is healed. Spend time with me when hatred comes upon you. Retreat to a quiet place and ask for my help. Wait in peace and confidence for my answer. I invite your unhealed spots into the light that I may heal them. I will not abandon you when the unhealed spots answer my call and step forth to be healed. So one thing that he is not promising is that this spiritual path is a bed of roses. Or if it is, it has some thorns. It has some thorns. Anybody who's been doing this for a while knows this already. Right, you've already had some stuff come up, stuff that if you'd been following along on your pre-spiritual path life, somehow you would have been able to deny it or project it or do something with it, and you wouldn't have had to feel the full brunt, the full force of it. But if you're truly practicing the spiritual path and you're not believing your projected thoughts, you're not trying to defend yourself, you're not trying to cast this away from you in some way, then what happens is the emotion is actually bigger. And that's not fun. And it would just be a lie to say that it was. It's not easy. It would just be a lie to say that it was. But what Holy Spirit is doing is giving us here the thought process that we can step into when this yuckiness comes up. And that thought process is remembering that the reason it has come up is to be healed. You know, everything has to rise up to the light. And if you find your willingness within, your desire to be healed, and you spend time with your willingness even while this yuckiness is occurring, you will find within yourself the strength to just be with this until it's healed, even if you have to lay in your bed in the fetal position, which I have done many times. You can just lay there, you know, in the fetal position and trust God. For me, you know, I don't know exactly how it is for everyone. I can only speak from my experience. But for me, that's what was important, was never forgetting what was actually going on here. You know, the story could be anything. The story could be running out of money. The story could be my boyfriend rejecting me. The story could be anything. And so it's not getting distracted by the world story. It's remembering that there's really only one thing going on here, and it's because I asked for it. And that's that everything in me that needs to be healed is coming up to be healed. And so it's disregarding the story entirely and remembering this is the only thing going on. And if you can do that, you will heal. You will. I know it from my own experience. When people don't heal based on what I see, it's because the truth is they're falling back into believing the story. They're falling back into believing the projection. They're falling back into believing the reason I'm scared is because I'm running out of money. If I had money, I'd be fine. You see, that's not healing. Do you hear that? Now, it could be that running out of money is bringing up this fear. All right? That's the story that pushed it up. But the reason this fear is being pushed up is so that it can be healed. I think it was last week. I pulled out A Course in Miracles and we read, yeah, because Kathy was sitting here, and we read about the three steps of healing. And the very first step that A Course in Miracles recommended was acknowledging the cause, right? Your job is to acknowledge the cause. Well, listen to the difference in these statements. I'm scared because I'm running out of money. I'm scared because my fear is rising up to be healed. Which one is really acknowledging the cause? The second one. So see, if you continue to believe the story, then you stay in the story. That's not healing. You have to step out of the story and remember what's really going on here. You chose a purpose. You chose to heal. You asked to heal. And now the entire universe, no lie, the entire universe is arranging itself to help you with that purpose. And that is literally the only thing that's going on for the rest of your life, no matter what it looks like. And if you can remember that, you're going to heal with lightning speed. I mean, it may be 5 or 10 years, but trust me, when you look back, you go, wow, I can't believe how fast that was, you know? But if you forget, and if you keep blaming the story, you stay in the story. Yes, ma'am.
Can you explain a little bit more that last sentence?
I will not abandon you, that sentence. Yes. I will not abandon you when the unhealed spots answer my call and step forth to be healed.
So I'm saying that, you know, okay, so here's this source that needs to be healed or whatever, and why would I feel abandoned if they step forth to be healed?
Yeah, I can definitely explain that. Because when a lot of this stuff steps forth to be healed, it's going to feel like your darkest moments in your entire life. And the truth is, you're going to feel abandoned. You might not, in those moments, have any feeling at all around you that you could call Holy Spirit. And your mind is going to tell you there is no Holy Spirit. This is a bunch of, all this stuff was a bunch of spiritual crap. The only thing that's true now is that you're out of money and you need to get money To hell with that spiritual stuff. It's time to walk away from it. This is what your mind is going to be telling you. And spirit is saying, that's not true. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how scary it gets, that is not true. I am there. You are healing. Stay with me. Spirit never abandons us. We abandon spirit. But I do know from my own experience that there are times when it is so hard. I mean, if you have anything, you have a thread, a tiny, tiny thread of faith left. Because it just seems like you screwed up your whole life by believing this Holy Spirit stuff. And you should not have done because that's what got you here. And you had a good life back there. I mean, this is what goes on in your head. This is it. That's what it feels like. But if you can hold on.
So I guess what it's kind of saying is that we're so attached to those unhealed things that when they start leaving us, that's where the abandon comes. That we're losing part of ourselves too, do you think?
Well, my experience was just that. I can only speak from my experience. I may have been attached to it. Maybe I was attached to ideas of rejection and unworthiness and fear. I'm sure that's true. But the conscious experience wasn't, oh, I want my rejection. I want my unworthiness. The conscious experience was, hold on, she's coughing, I'm coughing.
She's drinking some water for you.
The conscious experience was, the world is true. This is a real problem, and this needs my attention now. And the spirit is saying, do nothing, let it pass. Just do nothing. Just stay with this. Do nothing. You know, don't get out of your bed and make that phone call. Don't. Just sit here. Just sit here. And so what's going on in my mind is an argument between what's real and what's not real. That's the conscious experience. You know, if you think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus was pretty healed, but not completely healed. When he came out of the desert. And the way we know that is by what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. The night of his arrest, the night before his crucifixion, he was terrified. And he had a lot of trouble letting go of that terror. In fact, if you look at the book of Mark in the Bible, he had to go in and out of the garden 3 times. You know, and I've been to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when I was there, my thought was, you know, there's Jerusalem. Here's the garden. There's the hills. He could have hauled butt. He was in that garden by himself. The guards weren't there yet. You know those thoughts had to be running through his mind. There had to be thoughts there saying, this is real. I mean, this teaching stuff has been fun, but now they're going to kill me. You know? And he was terrified. But the decision he made, he had to make a decision between what's real and what's not real. That's what it comes down to sometimes. Am I going to trust God, you know, or am I going to trust the world? If Jesus had chosen to trust the world, he probably would have ran, disappeared, nobody ever heard from him again. He could have done it. In the story. But he chose to trust, you know, the spirituality, the metaphysics, the truth, whatever word you want. He chose to trust that. And then when he came out of that, Jesus was stronger than Jesus ever was before. If you watch the last 24 hours of his life, in the last 24 hours of life, he did not attempt to defend anything. He did not attempt to get away in any way. He just let that script run its course. Because he went with, that's it, I'm just trusting God. I'm not believing the world. And again, my experience is, in our own way, we all go through that, whether it's because we're running out of money or whatever. You know, there comes, for me, it was the running out of money. That's why I keep using that story. That was the big one for me. But there comes something where you really have to say, what am I going to trust here? Because I can, if I'm going to trust me, I can do something about this now. But yet, at the same time, you know you have this guidance to do nothing. And the question is, which one are you going to do? Are you going to do something, which means you're trusting the world, or are you going to stay with that guidance and do nothing? And that, it's hard. It just comes down to, I don't know what it comes down to. I guess how bad you want it. For me, I wanted to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was real, not just something that we talk about. And I knew that if I took matters into my own hands, sure, I might have a sense of security, but I'd never know if God was real. And I wasn't satisfied with that. So that's what kept me going through that period of time without doing something about it.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Yeah, one thing that's nice about NTI, and I suppose it's the way it is because it came through me, it's not one of those spiritual books that just paints all pretty, you know, pictures. I mean, it gives clear instructions on what you are to do, but it's also very clear that, you know, there's going to be times when this is just going to be hard. You know, and I remember, you know, some people reading it when it was first coming through me saying, oh, you know, Holy Spirit would not tell you it's going to be hard. But why not? It is. Why would Holy Spirit not tell you that? At least when it hits, at least my experience is, when it hit, when it got hard, because I had been prepared, I expected it, and I knew what to do. Right? It wasn't a surprise.
Well, the other side is that if you don't know that that's coming, you think you're doing something wrong.
I'm going to say that again for the recording. So Dave is saying if you don't know that it's coming, then when it comes, you think you've done something wrong. All right, let's see. Are we at the end of something here? Because it's about time to quit. Let's see. Where was I? Yeah, spend time with me. We are kind of at the end of something, so we can stop there and we can start 17 to 26 next week. That's new. So what I'm going to do is stop the recording. We'll go into a briefer silence this time because we went a little longer, and then we'll have our discussion.